We're in chapter 18, and if you will recall, chapter 17, Micah stole some money from his mother and, of course, did give it back once he heard there was a curse upon the person who stole. And his mother just thought he was the nicest kid. You know how mothers can be. Well, we go on to learn that he begins fake worship, false worship. He creates false gods. And, of course, he runs into a Levite, a guy that should be serving the God somewhere else full time, but looking for better opportunities, you know, upward mobility. And so we have a man who wants to have his own little church and have his own personal priest. And then we have a priest who, or a Levite who thinks, boy, that'd be a great job. And so they get together. And they're both in disobedience to God's word and to God's will. But things are going well, so it seems like God is blessing. And, of course, we talked about that some. Now, we'll continue on in the chapter. Remember, Micah, at the very end, in chapter 17, verse 13, Micah says this, "Now I know that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." See, you misunderstand. You disobey. It looks like it worked out all right. Matter of fact, it looks like you're making it. And so you begin to think, oh, God is blessing. I think we have learned over the years that we haven't learned over the years. We don't understand sometimes, I think, what a blessing is. And I think that we need to stop and, get alone with the Lord your God and let Him begin to teach you what a blessing is as compared to what we think they are. See, Micah thinks God is blessing now. Everything's going semi-well. Well, chapter 18 starts this way. In those days, when Micah had his own priest, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Now, we've heard that a few times. They have rejected the Lord their God. Everybody's just doing their own thing. Whatever seems right, just do it. Well, and in those days, the tribe of the Danites, they sought them an inheritance to dwell in. The tribe of Dan in those days, since there was no king and they rejected the true king, well, the whole tribe of the Danites went looking for a place to live. Does that sound a little bit funny? For those of you who remember the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. I'm sorry, Judges chapter 1. Tells us that the Danites were forced to live in the hills. They were forced out of the cities they should have had, and they were reduced, as a matter of fact, to not just living in the hills, but only two towns. Now, was that according to God's will? No. As a matter of fact, if you will recall, Joshua chapter 19 tells us Dan's assigned portion of land. Remember that Joshua breaks the land. God breaks the land up and gives it to each tribe. Well, one of the 12 tribes called Dan, they were given the country between Ephraim and Judah, stretching out to the Mediterranean Sea. A large part they were given. But then you come all the way up to Judges chapter 18, and in those days there was no king, and in those days the tribe of the Danites was looking for a place to live. What happened? Well, you remember, they had refused to trust God. He said, here's the area that I'm giving to the tribe of Dan. All you need to do is go into battle and take it. It's yours. That's all you need to do. Just go get it. Just as he told Joshua, when you go into the promised land, it's yours. I'll fight for you, but you go into the battle. And of course, remember Jericho and the walls coming down. There's a battle to be fought. God had called Israel to war. I know you remember that. And Dan refused to fight. God had called his people and said, I've given you this promised land. Now you go in and take it. I am the Lord your God. I've given it to you. Go for it. But we learn that Dan, the tribe of Dan, didn't really want to put out the effort. They got into one little spot, and they were sort of comfortable with it. They didn't take all that belonged to them, and they let the enemy stay there. So the enemy overpowered them and drove them up into the hills. So they had to live in two little cities up in the hills. And now we come to chapter 18, and we see the results of that. We don't have enough room, but we don't want to fight these Philistines who are around us. It would be much easier to just leave them this stuff, which is what Dan is doing here, and go find another spot. Now that, I believe, is the 20th century church. We'd rather switch than fight. And nobody remembers that. Okay, well, I'm very old. We don't want the hassle. If it takes any effort, count me out. I'm out. Dan refused to trust God. Dan, the tribe, just like many of us today, has chosen the easy way out. Instead of repenting and taking this that God has given me, Dan says, no, let's just go looking in a whole other area. Well, this God gave us this. I know, but you know, those Philistines are just too tough. It's just too much. They drove us into the hills. They'll wipe us out. Let's just, you know, let's not make waves. Let's go find a place. God called Israel to war, and Dan refused to fight. Now write this down or remember this. They refused to fight not because they were committed to peace. It wasn't that this tribe was so committed to peace. They refused to fight and to take what was theirs because they were committed to ease. Do you know? That's when we get in trouble. You'll hear America, and many of us, because all of us live here, most of us live here in America, we'll use the term convenient. We say, you know, hey, could you do this? You know, that's not really convenient. Convenient for who? Could you help me with it? You know, that's out of my way. It's not convenient. Now, if I were going there, I'd do that for you, but that's out of my way. We're into convenience. We want to live a life of ease. Now, when way back, before many of you were born, there was a place everybody wanted to live. It was a very common, a colloquialism, I suppose you'd call it, or maybe even a cliche, I don't know, but it was called Easy Street. Now, people don't talk about it much anymore, but back then, everybody wanted to live there. They want to get themselves into a position in this country where they can move onto Easy Street. You work hard for until you're 30, become a millionaire by the time you're 30, and then you live on Easy Street. You relax. You take it easy. No more fights. No more struggling. No more strain. You just take it easy. I remember as a young man, 6 and 7 years old, how my parents didn't have a washer or a dryer. I remember, this is so old, that they actually waited till they could afford it. Can you remember those days? They're gone. Because that meant a lot of work for whoever was going to try to have to do laundry. Usually, the mama. And kids are little, don't know any better, they try to help, but as they grow up, they learn, no, I don't know how to help. Notice that, parents? They're 4, let them help, because it ain't going to happen from 7 on. Not as long as there's electricity in the house. Now you come up to today, and you see people get married, have a 13-car garage, all filled with cars, and they just got married. How did they get all that stuff? Well, it's just easier to get the easy street now, that's all, because credit gets you there. Real good friend of mine, neat guy, true, loves God, doesn't understand credit cards, doesn't have a grasp of them. had three or four, and he was an architect, an engineer, and so he made a lot of money. So three or four maxed out at $30,000 and $40,000 each, single man. Just didn't quite understand the fact that if you use this up to $30,000, you're going to have to give it back someday. Never could grasp that. Finally had to get married. His wife goes, "Let me explain these to you." She cut them up and said, "Here's how you use them." Put them in that trash. Leave them alone. And it worked. But he couldn't, smart man, really into math, you know, being an engineer, but just couldn't figure out those cards. Some of you, I know, still trying to figure those out. You cut them really small so you can't read the numbers for the internet, and you throw them away. Of course, if you're like me and my family, only use them for emergencies. Because if you don't have $3, you go to Taco Bell and use a credit card. That's hardcore. Because they told me this new one here, the grease is fresh. It'll be fresh for another month if you guys want to eat there. Not because they were committed to peace. They were lazy. They wanted to take it easy. Do you know, these people go out looking for a place for their tribe to live, the tribe of Dan. When God gave them, according to His will, the promised land. And here's your section of it. Too hard to take that. We're going to go looking. You know what they're looking for? Someone weaker than them. They're going to find them. They're always out there. There's a sucker born every minute. And there's someone weaker than them, and they're going to go find them, and that's the land they're going to take. They did not take what God wanted them to have. Because they were committed to peace, they were such a... No, they were committed to ease. They want to live on Easy Street. Do you want to live there? There's an old song talking about us as Christians, how we're really not on fire for God. Bottom line, he just simply says this: Jesus rose from the dead, and you can't even get out of bed. And I think, you know, that, okay, true. How would you feel if it's 7 o'clock happened and a phone rang and I called and said, I got a headache, I don't think I'm going to make it. How would you yourself take that? Wimp, got a headache, so what? It's the pastor, we pay him. Doesn't do anything else. How would you feel? I'll tell you how you'd feel. You don't know how you'd feel, but how you'd feel is we're going to get another one. Because you got someone who has that kind of heart, you probably don't want to keep them too long. That's not the heart to have. Just want to relax. If you know my foot's asleep, could I just take the night off? You want to live on Easy Street? We are in trouble as a nation. It's a brand new year. I really want to encourage you to get right with the Lord your God. We're going to share communion in just a while to get right with God. There's a big job to do. And that job includes people who are hurting and suffering, and it is very inconvenient. There's no comfort involved, and you're going to have to give of yourselves. You're going to have to give of your time. You're going to have to go out of that little zone that you're comfortable in and actually begin to touch lepers. And to reach out to men and women and children who are hurting and confused. They're bitter. They're angry. That's what we need to do. And you see, they went looking for an inheritance. For unto that day, all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. Because they wouldn't take it. Some of you have not done what God wanted you to do. But you've used God as your excuse for not doing it. That's what they are saying. Hey, we took it and they drove us out. God said that we could have it. But here we are. Because they didn't trust. So, in other words, it's God's fault I'm here. No, I really don't believe so, not at all. And the children of Dan sent of their family 5 spies. 5 men from their coast, men of valor, brave men, from Zorah and from Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to search it. What are they looking for? They're looking for someone weaker than them that they can overpower. They're not looking to do what God said. They're looking to take an easier road, because the road God puts you and I on many times is a committed life. Jesus says so. If a man will, if anyone will come after me, let him or her deny himself, take up their cross daily, and follow me. It costs. Love is expensive. God so loved, he gave. And God gives us an example here. Lets us see men and women who don't want to put out the effort. Oh, it looks very godly, but it's not in his will. Just like Micah was worshiping, had his own little priest. It looked godly, but it was out of the will of God. Well, the children of Dan sent out of their family 5 that were spies from the coasts, men of valor, these were supposedly brave men, from Zorah and from Eshtaol, to spy out the land, to search it. And they said unto them, go, search the land. But when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. As they were traveling by, they stopped at Micah's house. Now Micah's there, got his own little fake tabernacle going with an ephod and a priest, and he's disobeying God, and it looks like God is blessing him, and the spies come on up. Oh, cool. All worship took place at Shiloh, very close to where Micah lives. All worship, the tabernacle there. Micah didn't worship there, neither did the tribe of Dan, as a matter of fact. Notice that the 5 spies did not go straight to Shiloh to worship God and to seek the Lord, to discover God's will. What did they do? Oh, they went out searching for someone weaker than themselves. Instead of listening to God, they went out to find an easier path. Let me tell you, you and I will naturally take the easy path. And we will say, it's the Lord's will, if we're not careful. Surely, Micah says, surely God will do good to me now, seeing I got my own priest even. Take this path. I don't have to go to Shiloh. That's a little bit of a trip. I got my own right here, and look, God's blessing. Surely God. This is not God. Neither is this God that these 5 spies show up. Notice, in those days, there was no king in Israel. We have a king, and we have King Jesus to listen to. And he has called every one of us not to comfort, but into the battle. And Paul reminds us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This is a real, live battle, and there are no non-combatants. Everybody's in the fight. You're on one team or on the other, but you're in the fight. And we know that, and we're called to be committed. We're called to grow. We're called to be good soldiers. We're called to fight the good fight. We're called to never stop. Don't turn back. Put the armor on and continue to move. It is not a comfortable life. It is not a life of ease. It's not living on easy street. And it's so true. Jesus rose from the dead, and sometimes it's hard for me to get out of bed. But there are things that need to be done. There's a job to do. Well, we've got these Danites, the 5 spies, and they show up at Micah's house. And when they were by the house of Micah, well, they recognized the voice of a young man, the Levite, and they turned in there, and they said to him, well, who brought you here? And what makest thou in this place? What are you doing here? A Levite, here, you don't belong here. This isn't right. What are you doing here? They're kind of shocked. And what have you here? And he said to them, well, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me. Here's the deal. I work, I'm his priest, and he pays me. He's hired me, and I am his priest. Well, even the Danites know that's not right. What are you doing here? A Levite, we recognize you as a Levite. You don't belong here. What are you doing here? Shoot, oh, so-and-so pays me to do this. When you have a pastor or a board or a Sunday school director or a youth leader or whatever, and that person does it for the money, what you have is a hireling. And once you've got a hireling, you're not safe. And sheep somehow sense it. Somehow they know. And Jesus says, a hireling doesn't care about the sheep. Oh, he'll do his job good and watch the sheep. But if trouble comes, he drops everything and runs. He clears out. If wolves come, he's not going to stand there and fight with wolves. These are somebody else's sheep. He just leaves, and the sheep are destroyed. And what you've got here is a man who says, I'm a hireling. I get paid to do this. You shouldn't be here. It's not right to do. Yeah, but they pay me. As long as Micah pays me, I'm staying. So see, what you've got is a hireling. Once you've got a hireling, you've got someone who's not going to stand to defend. Jesus tells us that himself. And they said to him, hey, well, you're a priest. Okay, you're getting paid to do it. Cool. Then ask the Lord for us, we pray you. Ask of God so that we can know our way which we should go shall be... Or let me read it to you. Whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. Oh, well, cool. You're a paid priest. Then ask God for us if it's going to be prosperous for us. We're looking for a place to go live. Ask God. They come to a Levite. They recognize who shouldn't be there. They recognize him. He's saying, I'm getting paid to do this. That's why I'm here. If there was more money somewhere else, I'd be there. And they go, oh, well, cool, okay. Ask God if everything's going to be okay with us. And the priest says, go in peace. Here's a false prophet. Before the Lord is your way wherein you go. In other words, yeah, go ahead, just go. God's with you. Now, is God with them? No. Aren't you amazed? And there's a little statement I have written in my Bible. When God goes, anything goes. Do you notice that? When you and I just begin to say, you know what? Who cares what the Bible says? Things seem to be going okay. I'm sort of with the Lord. I'm born again. I love God. And who really cares? And so pretty soon, you're doing your own thing in the name of the Lord. And friends, well-meaning people who certainly don't want to hurt you, they don't tell you the truth. They let you go on. Matter of fact, sometimes they join in with you. Hey, we'll back you up. Oh, you're getting paid to do this? Well, we'll help. You walk away thinking, ooh, man, God's really blessing. But God isn't blessing. He's not in this. This is not of Him. You're going to see this go drastically downhill quickly. The book ends in the sewer. The book doesn't come back up ever. We're going to watch them go lower and lower because they are assuming God's blessing. They're not really, really interested in doing what God says. See, what God says might cost me. I might not be comfortable. I might have to do something I really don't want to do. I might have to go out of my way. I might have to really... And all of a sudden, Dan goes, you know, let's just go and find a place. They find a priest who they recognize doesn't belong there. What are you doing here? I get paid to be here. I'm the priest here. I'm the paid guy. Well, then ask the Lord for us. Are we headed the right direction? What should we do? And he goes, go in peace. God's going to go before. You'll go before the Lord. The Lord's right with you. We all know that's not true because we're reading it. Now, put it in my life and yours. If there's one thing I think you want, that's to be doing what God wants. If there's one thing I think you don't want, it's to be doing your own thing and giving it a fake approval, supposedly from God. Oh, it's the Lord. And then you don't want people around you who are going to say, oh, go for it. Hey, yeah, go in peace. Oh, God bless you. Do it, dude. Do it, dude. We don't need that. It's going to hurt me. It's going to destroy me. If I am not willing to get moving and listen to God, I'm going to be in trouble. And you see the Danites are in trouble. And you know Micah and his priest Jonathan, they've been in trouble for a long time now. Well, the priest said, go in peace before the Lord is your way wherein you go. God's walking right with you. Notice with this, okay, then the five men, I'll throw that in a moment. Then the five men departed, came to Laish. They saw the people that were there. Little town called Laish. How the people dwelt careless. This is a little place out nowhere, and the people really weren't worried about being attacked. Who would want this place? Nobody. After the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. Just a nice little place. And there was no magistrate in the land. They didn't even have a ruler, you know, a head dude that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians, and they had no business with any man. A little town out there off, really safe, secure. Nobody would bother a little place like that. Nobody's interested in it. They're just living happily ever after. Well, now, there's somebody we can beat. Little bitty place, unexpecting. Instead of doing what God said, we can take them. Then the five men departed. They came to Laish, and that's what they saw. And they came to their brethren. They went back to Zorah and Eshtol, those two cities. And their brethren, they said to them, what do you say? Tell us. We sent you out. What'd you learn? They said, get up, that we may go up against them. For we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are you still? Be not slothful. Go and enter to possess the land. Let's go. Let's go for it. We found a bunch of people. We can beat them easy. Let's take the easy road. This is going to be easy. If it were hard, the spies would come back and say, I don't think we can take it. It looks like it's going to be a little bit too much work. Let's just go another direction, find another place. We'll call it the Lord's will. We'll call it God's blessing. But that looks a little tough. Now instead, the spies come back and say, I think we can do this one. This looks easy. And now you see many Christians today. Hey, I want to help. I want to do. I want to serve. You know what? Well, we could use help here. No, that's not my gift. No, I could do that. It looks easy. When you go, verse 10 says, you shall come to a people who are secure, to a large land, for God has given it into your hands. Has God given it into their hands? No. God has nothing to do with this. A place where there is no want of anything that is in the earth. We could live, everybody, on easy street. Go over there. It's going to be easy. It's good grazing land for your cattle and for your herds. There's plenty of water. It's beautiful. You're going to love it there. And the best thing is we can do this no sweat. Easy street. We're going to get there. And there went from there the family of the Danites out of Zorah and out of Eshtol, the two cities they were in, 600 men appointed with weapons of war. They went up and they pitched in Kirjath-Jearim in Judah. Wherefore they called that place that name there. They passed there unto Mount Ephraim and they came to the house of Micah. Remember, they stopped there on the way. Now they're back, but there are 600 warriors. And then the five that were, in verse 14, that went out to spy the land, the country of Laish, they said to their brethren, hey, do you know that there is in these houses an ephod and some little idols, some teraphim? Graven image and molten image? Now, therefore, consider what you have to do. You know what? We can go out there. That's a little further from Shiloh. We don't really go to Shiloh to worship God anyway. Let's steal this stuff and take it with us. This is kind of easy. I mean, what's Micah going to do? He's got this paid priest and a few helpers. What's he going to do? This would be easy. So on the way of the Lord, they say, they take this and they go, they're going to steal now. They turned there. They came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even to the house of Micah, and saluted him. And the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. Boy, that would scare you, wouldn't it? 600 guys are here to see you, Micah. Ooh, dude. And the five men, the spies that went out to spy the land, they went up and they came in there and they took the graven image and the ephod, that's the priest's garment, and the teraphim, the little false gods, and the molten image, and the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 that were appointed with weapons of war. He stood there. And these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod, the teraphim, the molten image. Then the priest said to them, "What are you guys doing? What do you think you're doing?" They said to him, "Be quiet. Lay your hand on your mouth and come with us. And be to us a father and a priest." And they said, "Hey, look, now just listen to this logic. Isn't it better for you to be a priest over an entire tribe of Dan than to be a priest over one man in his house? That you be the priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel? Look, we'll pay you. You're getting paid. Whatever he's paying, we'll give you a little more. You come and you be our priest. We'll steal all this stuff. We'll go set up our own little tabernacle. You be the priest there. Wouldn't that be a better assignment? You're looking for upward mobility. Wouldn't it be better to be a priest over the whole tribe of Dan than just over a little family of Micah?" And the priest says, "Whoa, man, God is good. Look at the Lord has done for me today. He has just raised me up. I'll take it." Yeah, it would be better. Art was glad. He goes, "Man, God is so good to me. Look what he has done in my life. I mean, you know, really, just a while back, I was just a lowly nothing, just a Levite, and I headed out. Well, wasn't that against God's will? Yeah, but you know, God loves me, and so he blessed that. And I headed out, and I ran into Micah. And Micah, you know, God just put it on Micah's heart to hire me. God is so good to me. Look what God has done in my life. Isn't he great? And I got money for doing this. Are you kidding? This is great. And I'm taken care of. I eat. I got a place to live. And everything's going great. And now, lo and behold, because I have been so faithful to the Lord, he now is going to move me up to be the priest over a whole tribe. God is good. I want you to know, this is not God's will. This is in disobedience to the Word of God. God will not stand for this much longer. And I think every one of us needs to learn a lesson. Because we really want to do God's will. We really want to be found working in Him when He comes. And so the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went with the people. Now I'm the priest over a whole tribe. Boy, God can do anything. So they turned and departed and put the little ones and the cattle in the carriage before them. They even stole cattle. When they were a good way off the house of Micah, well, the men were in the houses near to Micah's. They were gathered together, and they overtook the children of Dan. When Micah finds out they stole my priest, and they stole my gods, I got to go get them. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said, unto Micah, "What ails you?" Micah says, "Hey, you guys, stop, you guys." So 600 men stop, and they turn back, and they say, in our language, they'd say to Micah, in a very threatening manner, by the way, the language is, "What's your problem? You'd come out with such a company. What are you doing with all these guys? You couldn't be planning to attack us. We are too tough. What is your problem, man?" And he said, "You have taken my gods," listen, "my gods, which I have made. And you took the priest, and you went away. And I don't have any more. What is this that you did unto me?" What's your problem? Guys, wouldn't it be embarrassing to be able to tell others, you know, I'm a Christian and I serve God and I really want to serve Him, but I got to tell you, I'm here at police headquarters because somebody stole Him. I had Him in my car in the parking lot. Someone broke in and took Him, and I'm so embarrassed, I got to get Him back. Wouldn't it be weird if you served a God who could be stolen and taken away from you? Aren't you glad no one can steal Him from you? Even if you forget to lock your house, aren't you glad the Lord is with you always? What a fool, Micah. You stole my gods. The children of Dan said to him, I like this statement, by the way. Don't let your voice be heard among us. The leaders of Dan said to Micah, you better speak a little more quietly. You're going to get these guys upset. They'll tear your head off. Don't let your voice be heard. Hey, hold it down, man. You're just looking for fight. These guys, I'm nice to you, but these guys back, you know, good cop back. These guys back here are not going to take this. You better shut up. Lest angry fellows run upon you and you lose your life with the lives of your household. Don't talk too loud. These guys will kill you, man. And Micah, what does he do? Oh, excuse me. He turns and leaves. He lost his gods that day. Now he's got to go steal some more money, make some more. Find another priest willing to disobey God, or a Levite willing to disobey God. Start his own temple again. And still is going to call it God's will. Children of Dan went on their way. When Micah saw that they were too strong for him, well, he turned and he went home. Well, they took the things which Micah had made and the priests which he had. They came to Laish unto a people that were quiet and secure, and they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. They killed them, destroyed them. And there was no deliverer because it was far from Zidon. Remember, if there had been any kind of help, the Danites would not have tried. They had no business with any man. And it was in the valley that lieth by Bethrob. And they built a city and dwelt there. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father. The tribe is named after, who was born into Israel. Howbeit, the name of the city was Laish at the beginning. They were proud. They were out of God's will, but they're still doing what's right in their own eyes. They don't know they're out of God's will. They think this is a blessing. Look, God's delivered them into our hands. Oh, this is so cool. We'll name the city after our father, you know, the tribe, Dan. Listen, in the book of 1 Chronicles, when the 12 tribes are listed, Dan is not mentioned. There are still 12 there, but God refuses to use the name Dan. In the book of Revelation, chapter 7, 144,000 from the 12 different tribes. Although there are 12 different tribes, the tribe of Dan is not listed. God doesn't even give them the courtesy to list them. Not mentioned. Interesting. You're going to find that this little sin right here is going to be so expensive to them in just a short time, in the next few chapters, which we won't get to tonight. But it's going to be very expensive. It's going to almost literally decimate the entire tribe of Dan. And you and I are to learn, and we'll talk about this when we get there, but you and I are to learn just taking it easy, just relaxing, just, you know, it's, oh yeah, I can do that, that's not too hard. Oh, I can. We need to begin to turn our hearts over, because the sin of disobedience, there's always consequence. And as I said before, as we learned before, you can choose to disobey, but you cannot choose the outcome. I can choose to sin, but I can't choose the consequences that it brings. If you now have any hope at all to be standing with the Lord your God, He says, come to me now. Turn. Follow me. Sit down and count the cost and come after me, anyone who chooses to. Simple choice. When the children of Dan set up the graven images, and Jonathan, that was the priest, the son of Gershom, listen closely, Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, He and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan till the day of the captivity of the land. Interesting, verse 30 says something. The writer, I believe, it looks like, is a little bit embarrassed. I'll tell you what I mean. He says, and the children of Dan set up the graven image. That is against God's law. God is offended. And the children of Dan set up the image. And Jonathan, he was the priest that worked for Micah. He was the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh. Notice that, well, you may not notice, but if you'll go back and you'll read in the lineages, you know who Gershom was related to directly? Moses, the lawgiver. Notice he doesn't mention Moses here. A little bit embarrassing to say where this Levite comes from. The lawgiver himself, and here's this Levite just throwing it out, not caring anything about God, just doing his own thing. Yet still calling himself a child of God. Still saying, God is blessing me. Look at how God is doing. That's the danger, I think, that you and I are faced. Especially in a country where everything is semi-easy. When we see Thailand, when we see Africa, when we see China, when we see North Korea, we go, oh my goodness. But there are many who say, I couldn't go there. I don't think I could stand the food. I don't think I could take the bugs. I don't think I could take the humidity. I don't think I could. In other words, I'm not telling you to go, but don't you understand what we're saying is, I think I better pick an easier path. Now, don't all pack up and go to China. But you better have a heart that says, Lord, here am I. Tell me what to do. If it's to work here at McDonald's the rest of my life, then I give me a heart for it. And if I got to go where they have bugs as big as your arms, then just give me some off. But instead, we're in a society who says, you know, Dan says, that's a little too tough. That's what God wants, too tough. But that looks like it's easy. How we can do that? Be careful, be careful. They set them up, Micah's graven images, which he made all the time that the house of God was at Shiloh, meaning where they should have worshipped, they didn't. And in disobedience, they did their own thing and believed that it was okay. When God goes, anything goes. Look at this. The tribe of Dan. They did not take what God had given them. Listen. They did not take what God had given them, but they did take what God had not given them. Isn't that interesting? You and I don't want to be that way. The tribe of Dan did not take what God gave them, but they took what God had not given them instead. There are many lessons for you and I. It's not that we should feel beat up. Feeling beat up doesn't do anybody any good. We ought to begin to say, Lord, where is my heart? We're going to share communion. He gave everything to me, everything. He gave his life, not holding back anything. He went to the cross on purpose. And the Bible says you could look at him. The Bible specifically says, and I'm paraphrasing, you could see in his face that he would not be persuaded to do anything else. The disciples finally gave up. They said, Lord, we can't go down there. They're going to try and kill you. And the Lord kept on going. And the disciples, the Bible says, gave up. We're not going to talk him out of doing this. He has set his face like a flint. He is going to go to the cross. No one and nothing is going to stop him. Have you yet said, Lord, by your power, by your strength, nothing will stop me. You just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Do Christians really love the cross? Where there is shame, where there is suffering, where there is cost, you and I are believers. And we're in the last days. And so we're going to be rare if we're truly believers. I really want you to be strong. I tell you these things because I want you to be strong. Now, if you end up not liking me because of it, you'll still like me in heaven, so I got nothing to lose. I want you to be all right. I want you to be healthy, strong sheep who feed well and are able to understand and then able to share Jesus Christ. Listen, not to get gross, but healthy sheep beget sheep. You will tell people about Jesus. You will be on fire for the things of God. But don't let you and I be walking in disobedience and pretending God is blessing it.